I do love the picture on the front of the bulletin. Deaf man brought to Jesus, and okay, he doesn't look like he's ready for whatever's going to happen, does he? Anybody look at the title for the sermon? It's on the middle page. Because when you look at it, you'll get the theme for the whole business. Anybody there yet? Intrusive. We have an intrusive God. It's a good thing, too. Our first hymn, I decided just for a change to take it out of the previous hymnal, the blue hymnal, which of course now there's a misprint. Third verse, third line, flowers willingly unfolding to the sun, their faces holding. But that was the only misprint I found in the whole thing. Mostly because it's all preset and it just gets patched in. Let's begin with our first hymn, God Himself is Present.
God is in His temple, all within.
We rise to hear the words of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, by his authority and by his command, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our psalm is Psalm 109, beginning at verse 21. But you, O God, my Lord, deal on behalf for your name's sake.
Because your steadfast love is good, deliver me.
For I am poor and needy,
and my heart is stricken within me.
I am gone like a shadow at evening.
I am shaken off like a locust.
My knees are weak through fasting.
My body has become gaunt with no fat.
I am an object of scorn to my accusers.
When they see me, they wag their heads.
Help me, O Lord my God.
Save me according to your steadfast love.
Let them know that this is your hand.
You, O Lord, have done it.
Let them curse, but you will bless.
They arise and are put to shame, but your servant will be glad.
May my accusers be clothed with dishonor.
May they be wrapped in their own shame as in a cloak.
With my mouth I will give great thanks to the Lord.
I will praise him in the midst of the throng.
For he stands at the right hand of the needy.
To save him from those who condemn his soul to death.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Christ alone.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, let your merciful ears be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and grant that what they ask may be in accord with your gracious will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our Old Testament lesson is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35, beginning at verse 4. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is taken from the letter of James, Chapter 2. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, What good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And we rise and we sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Beginning at verse 24. From there Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears. And after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated, and we continue with our next hymn, number 846, Your Hand, O Lord, in Days of Old. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. Taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." We have an intrusive God. He's intrusive because he comes into our darkness, our blindness, our alienation, our ruin. And that is intrusive. Unlike the old saying of God is in his heaven and all is well with the world. He doesn't stay in his heaven, does he? He's the intrusive God. And there's the deaf man, cut off from people and, worse than that, cut off from the word of God. He could not hear it. He could not voice his prayers, which meant that he did not have the clear words and promises of God saying to him that he was a child of God, and as a child of God was loved and could call upon God in every need, pray, praise, and give thanks. That's why in the middle of doing the healing, Jesus looked up to heaven and sighed. Sighed because of the various parts of our weakness and suffering and death, that they are all a part of our separation from God. And then in the incident before that, there's the Canaanite woman, the Syrophoenician, comes to Jesus and asks for help for her daughter, to free her daughter from the evil and demonic. You see, each one of these, the deaf man and the Canaanite woman, they reflect the curse. They reflect the curse of the law for us. The one shows it visibly, the other exhibits it through the lostness. A lostness that is passed on from Adam and Eve and passed right down to us, so that as we are naturally constituted, born in sin, we are unable to know God, to discern right and wrong, and in that state we would turn religion bad. In turning religion bad, we would then live without knowing whether we are loved by God or cursed. It's an interesting thing, this idea of we are mirrors of each other. Let's say on your ride home from church, you're driving along and somebody cuts you off, and then they make rude gestures at you. And you're looking at them and you're tallying up how many different sins that they are doing, and you are supposing there's a whole lot more. Well, guess what? They're a mirror. A mirror for your sin. Years ago, I did this one illustration where I invited a member of the congregation to come and stand up at the front of the center aisle, and I'd brought in a mirror, one of these stand-on-the-floor mirrors. And I had put sticky notes on it. And the sticky notes, they listed sin after sin after sin after sin. And I looked in the mirror and said, "Oh, wow, while I look at you, can you imagine what kinds of sin I'm seeing as I look at you?" And then invited them to come around and take a peek at what I was looking at. And of course, as they did, what they saw in the mirror is me. We are mirrors of each other. Every sin you see in your neighbor is a reflection of you. Every sin that is in your own soul is exhibited by somebody else in the world. And we are mirrors as the consequences of sin come down on others' lives, and it's not just their lives. This is the judgment on our lives. Mirrors. That's why we so desperately need the Word of God to break that pattern so that there's something else to look into and something else to be a mirror for us, and that something else is the words and promises of God carried to us and brought to us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, who is the mirror of our future. Because you can read it in Romans chapter 8, it's around verse 27, 29, somewhere around there. Not going to tell you the exact reference, so now you'd have to go and read more verses. See how that works? Where it says, God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be made the firstborn among many brothers. That's why the healing happens as it does. The intrusive God, who, as Jesus does this healing, each step is more intrusive than the last. I love the picture on the front of the bulletin with the guy back like this. He has no idea what's about to happen and what's going to happen next, and he is definitely not ready for it. Jesus takes him aside and puts his fingers in his ears. Maybe I should act that out. Maybe a few of you are looking worried. Maybe I won't. But you get the idea. The intrusive God, with the man not knowing what's to come next, but here is God with his powers of creation reaching out and touching that man's ears. And he is in the hands of God, and whatever God wants to do, he is going to do. No ifs, ands, or buts. No way to stop him from doing the doing. And after putting his fingers in his ears, what's next? He spat and touched his tongue. Most of the commentaries that I've read do not talk about Jesus spitting toward the side and then touching the man's tongue. They talk about spitting on the fingers. And then reaching into his mouth and touching his tongue. You talk about intrusive, right? Even with the doctors doing all of their things that they do, I've never seen one do that. No, here's the tongue depressor. You'd be backpedaling. But he is the intrusive God. And there's a reason for this. He shares the stuff of being human, shares it with us. And the third step, even more intrusive than that, yes. Looked up to heaven with a deep sigh. You see, it wasn't just the physical stuff of the man. It was everything that was in his soul. And Jesus took that man's prayer and he joined his prayer, the prayer of God to God, He joined his prayer with the unformed, as with us, confused prayers that we pray. Doesn't leave alone even the most deeply inside part of us. And then says Ephatha. And in saying Ephatha, now he is going to change the whole existence of that man. Could look back and say, well, in the beginning, God breathed the breath of life into Adam, and here he sighs and speaks the word Ephatha. Jesus stooped down to speak in the language of the deaf man, and he stoops down to speak in our language. If Jesus wanted to show that he was Lord and ruler of all creation, well, he did those things. Commanding the storm, walking on the water, changing water to wine, and on and on and on. But to show the depth and the genuineness of his love, what did he do? Became one of us. Sharing our joys, sitting with us through our sorrows, spending time with us, caring for us as his friends. And so he was born to be one of us, to bring you to be his friend, to purchase and win you with the price of his own life, his own suffering, his own blood. The Christmas carol goes, "What child is this?" And then later on says, "The silent word is pleading." Paul talks about it. He who was in his very existence God did not consider equality with God a thing to hold on to and grab on to and never let go of, but emptied himself, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. See, he's the intrusive God who will step into our lives whether we want it or not. He has the right to do the unexpected thing because he is God. He has the right to lead us through parts of life that we would not choose. But he can do this because he's the good shepherd. He has the right to call for us to confess him, even if that brings suffering and even if it brings martyrdom, as it does in our day in other parts of the world. But he has the right to do that because he bought us at the price of his going to the cross and his dying. And he's able to promise an eternity of blessing because he has conquered death and rose from the dead glorified. He is the intrusive God. He intrudes into our existence with salvation. And now if you're thinking, well, this occurrence of what he did with the deaf man, well, that's back then. He wouldn't do things like that right now. Not so quick. I work for him and I watch him do these things. Did he put something in your ear today? That would be the word of God. Will he put something on your tongue today? That would be the bread and the wine. his own body and his own blood? And day after day after day, does he join his prayers to your prayers so that he can lead you through this world? Oh, yes, he does. The intrusive God who brings salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We join in confessing our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed, which goes on to the next page. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing the first verse of our communion hymn. Continue our prayers. In our prayers, we wish to remember also, in addition to those in the bulletin, the family of Armanet Fannin, who passed from this life this last week, and Ivy, that would be one of Lois's relatives, a granddaughter, who is back from the Philippines. But there are some things to pray for her for healing. We go to our Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to you. There are many prayers for many around the world. There are Christians even now facing martyrdom for the sake of your name. We ask you to give them courage, boldness, and unwavering devotion, that in the face of anything and everything, they may confess you unto the end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask you to watch over especially the pastors, the Christians, and the people of Afghanistan in the middle of such turmoil and violence. You are Lord of lords and King of kings. We ask you to guide these days of the history of the world for your purposes, for the blessing of your people and for the increase of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over the families who have lost loved ones. Comfort the families of Phyllis Krugler, Roland Jones, Arminette Fannin, and the families of the 13 servicemen and women who perished over in Afghanistan. Speak your words of eternal life, that they may have comfort in the midst of their distress. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask for your healing mercies and for you to guide doctors and nurses and all who minister. And we pray for Ivy, Phyllis, Judy, Adolph, Sharon, Dick, Jody, Eileen, Byron, Connie, Ray, Dwayne, Anita, Sarah, Penny, and Kurt. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over our loved ones who have ongoing personal and medical needs, to guard and keep them, to strengthen them in faith, to guide them and all who minister to them. And so we pray for Phil, Cindy, Augusta, Linda, David, Dina, Reagan, Milt, Megan, Christine, Paige, Sammy, and Morgan. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over our loved ones in nursing homes, assisted living centers, and who are homebound, as their constant companion and faithful good shepherd, lead them. Watch over Tina, Jody, Sharon, Molly, and Art. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we ask you to bless our loved ones in the armed services. We pray for Mitchell, Blake, Lisa, Christian, David, and Brian. We pray for so many others that we know of, and ask you to keep your guarding and guiding hand upon them, to preserve them and bring them through their time of service safely. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask for our missions and missionaries around the world and here at home, for those involved with San Pablo and Hispanic ministry, for those with Salam who reach out to those from the Mideast, for those missionaries in closed countries. And we ask that your gospel would pass through all restrictions and reach out to those of every nation and every language. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear us, Father, for we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead and reigning together with you and the Holy Spirit, now and into all eternity.
Amen.
We continue with the second verse of our hymn. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels, archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We called then our first 8 family units to come forward for our first table. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ for you. Take and drink the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sin. Take and drink the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sin. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. May our Lord bless you and keep you in your baptism. And now may Christ's body and blood strengthen and keep you in the true faith to life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen. I believe one more table will be sufficient.
Nice. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good,
and his mercy endures forever.
And we sing. Let us pray. O God, the Father, fountain, source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with delight and give you peace. So there is a balm in Gilead, and we're going to sing about it.
Thank you.
are some announcements.